Christ and only by his grace. So praise God this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to 2 Peter chapter 1, where I would like to read verses 12 through 15. At 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, where it says, "Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made clear to me. And I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. Amen." When I was younger, my mom's favorite nickname for me was Uitukule. Forgetful. Apparently, it wasn't Frumosule or Skumpule, it was Uitukule. And I earned it because every time she would ask me or my dad would ask me, "Did you do what I told you to do?" I would say, "I'm uitat." And now, years later, my kids are returning that favor in spades. Did you put your toys away? I forgot. Did you do what I asked you to do? I forgot. And one thing that I find myself repeating over and over again is, how many times do I need to tell you this thing? How many times do I need to explain this thing to you? Now, in the Christian life, whenever we want to grow spiritually, or maybe there's something wrong in our lives and we want something to turn around, we tend to think that we need something new. We tend to think that there's some information, some bit of secret knowledge that we're missing. And if I just knew that new thing, if I just found out that secret information, then I'd be able to grow spiritually. Or then that thing that's problematic in my life would be fixed if I only had that new thing. But Peter's message here is quite the opposite. He's telling the Christians that he's writing to, and he's telling us, you don't need something new. You need to be reminded of what you already know. And here's the key. The Christian life is not sustained by discovering new truths, but by faithfully reminding one another of foundational ones. And I want to quickly cover a couple things this morning about why it is important, why it is necessary for Christians to be reminded and to remind one another of the foundational and sometimes quite simple truths of Scripture. So the first point this morning for us is that reminding, the art, the discipline of reminding one another is necessary. It's not optional, it is necessary. Because even established believers require constant reminding, because truth easily slips. And it slips not necessarily from our memory, not that we forget it, but it slips from active influence in our lives, or active power to influence our lives and our behavior. And again, we see that there's this temptation for new over true in many Christians' lives, a temptation for new over true. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 in the NET translation says it this way, because there will come a time when people will not tolerate sound teaching. Instead, he says, they will have an insatiable curiosity to hear new things. An insatiable curiosity for new doctrine, for the novel, for the new, for the exciting. Again, you know, I want to grow spiritually as a Christian, so maybe there's some secret information, some secret knowledge out there that if I could understand it, if I could grasp it, then I would grow spiritually. Then I would be where I want to be. If I only knew how many angels could dance on the pin of a needle, right? If I could only connect the number 66 to Nimrod and all these things. And there's nothing wrong with discovering new truth. There's nothing wrong with learning something new, because the Word of God is so deep that every time we open it, we will learn and discover something new. But the problem for Christians comes when we abandon the foundational truths, the truths that we sometimes look at and we think these are too simple. And instead of faithfully carrying out those truths, instead of faithfully reading the Word of God, instead of faithfully spending time in prayer, instead of faithfully fasting, instead of faithfully being generous to one another, we ignore those truths. We don't practice those truths, and we look for something new and novel. And we see this influences the church. I can't tell you how many times when Pastor David or somebody said, okay, Kalina, I'm scheduling you to preach, I think to myself, man, what can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that you haven't heard 100 times over already? What new thing can I share with you that you don't already know? And there's a temptation to come up here and to have new revelation. And you know, part of that is pride because I want to wow you. I want to impress you. I want to look at how much Colleen knows. Look at how wise Colleen is. And I think a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers, they fall into that temptation and even that anxiety. What can I tell you? What can I say that hasn't been said before? But it's not just us. It's the church at large. It's believers at large. People come to church expecting to hear something new, wanting, desiring to hear something new. What's the pastor going to come up with this week? What new thing is he going to teach us this week? And if it's something that we've heard before, something that, you know, has been preached in the past, we think, you know, it was the same old, stuff we've heard before. We're all drawn to novelty. But we see here that the apostles and Peter here specifically prioritize repetition of foundational truth over novelty. And again, the problem is not that we don't know enough. It's that we don't live out what we already know, brothers and sisters. And we see that for Peter and the other apostles, repetition is a deliberate pastoral strategy. Peter says in verse 12, he says, I will remind you three times. In verse 12, he says, I will always remind you. In verse 13, he says, I think it is right to wake you up with a reminder. And in verse 15, he says, I will also make every effort so that you can recall, so that you can remember. And it's not just Peter. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18, that the children of Israel are commanded, remember what the Lord your God did. Remember the acts of the Lord, the miracles of the Lord, what the Lord did in your life. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus, as he's instituting the Last Supper, he tells his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Romans chapter 15, verse 15, Paul says, I have written to remind you more boldly. Jude in verse 5, he says, now I want to remind you. And we find this repetition throughout scripture where reminding one another is key. It's essential because God builds repetition into spiritual formation. So the danger is not ignorance. It's not that Christians don't know enough. The danger is not ignorance, but it's drift. Even Peter says in verse 12, he says, you know them. You know these truths. You're established in them. And yet, even though the readers know the truth, even though the readers are established in the truth, Peter still feels the need to remind them and to say it three times over. Because it's not the lack of knowledge that is the problem, but the loss of functional influence. It's the loss of the influence that the knowledge that we have of the Word of God, the knowledge that we have of God himself, the loss of the influence that has on our lives. To remember here was meant to impact the lives of the hearers, of the believers, and to impact their entire being, their intellect, their will, their emotions, and yes, their behavior. And we do this so often, right? We know something to be true, yet it doesn't impact our lives. We know something is true, yet we don't let it influence how we behave, how we act. We know that God is sovereign, yet we still walk around full of anxiety. We know about grace, yet we still perform for God's approval so often. We know that we are to store up treasures in heaven, yet we're still living for the here and for the now. in all practical terms. The principle is this: the danger for Christians is not that we lack access to truth, it's that we're constantly tempted to move on from it. We think that we need something new, when in reality we need to be reminded to live the foundational truths that we all already know. So if reminder is necessary, then what should it actually accomplish? And in point two, we find that reminding must be effective. Reminding must be effective. Biblical reminding, what Peter is talking about here, what Jesus was talking about when he said, do this in remembrance of me, when what the Lord was saying to the Israelites when he said, remember the works of the Lord, it's not informational. It's not to share new information. It's not to remind people of bits of data. It's transformational. To be reminded is not informational, it is transformational. The goal, Peter says, is to wake you up. He has a goal. He says, I'm reminding you because I have a goal. I'm trying to wake you up, brothers and sisters. In verse 13, that's what he says, to wake you up with a reminder. And he uses this language of stirring up, of activating, of shaking out of complacency. I have three kids, as most of you know. If I go to wake up Caleb, he's usually already awake. He's the first one to wake up because he hates sleep. If I go to wake up Sarai, my little one, all it takes is a little kiss and a nudge or two, and she's up. If I go to wake up Cora, on the other hand, I could kiss her, I could nudge her. Eventually, I start tickling her. And what usually ends up happening is that I grab her by the feet and I pull her out of bed physically. And most of the time, she turns right around and crawls back into bed, and I have to do that several times. But I have to do what I have to do to wake her up. I have to do whatever it takes. And for believers, for Christians, the reason that we remind one another is because of the goal, which is effectiveness. It's not just to remind one another. It's not just about the information, but it's that so that information has an effect on us. And here, I've been thinking about this. So many of us Christians think about ourselves as volunteers. We are permanent volunteers instead of being stewards. We are always part-timers, part-time Christians. And we think, you know what? There's the pastors and there's the deacons and there's the board members and there's the bishops and there's the professionals and they'll do the job and they have to be effective. They have to know what they're doing. But, you know, for me, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a deacon. As long as I just show up, that's good enough. As long as I just put in the minimal amount of effort, it is enough. It's what I can do. But the Bible teaches us that we need to be effective. Every believer is responsible to be effective in ministry. That means that if you are a Sunday school teacher, you're not showing up for 2 hours. You are doing your best to be effective in impacting the lives of those 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds. Teaching them, modeling for them, being an example for them. If you're in the welcoming ministry, you are doing your utmost to have the joy on your face and in your life that will show people walking in that there is a God who gives peace and joy in this place. That whatever ministry that you're involved in, whether it's music or preaching or teaching, you are giving your best. You are doing your best. You are investing yourself completely in that ministry. You are not just showing up, but you are making an impact. The principle for us is that faithfulness includes striving for effectiveness in how we serve and how we speak. We need to do whatever it takes. Like I said, whatever it takes to wake up Cora, we need to do whatever it takes to wake one another up, spiritually speaking. And then the last thing is, why does Paul or Peter press on this so insistently, so strongly? Why does he insist on this concept, on this principle of reminding so strongly? Well, it's because reminding is urgent. Not only does it need to be effective, but it's an urgent call. The work of reminding carries urgency because our opportunities to impact one another, to influence each other in our lives, they're limited. For Peter himself, the urgency came from the fact that he knew that he was about to die. He knew that he was close to his death. He was going to pass away soon. He says in verse 14, "Since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, this earthly body." And we know that Jesus spoke to him that when he was older, that his hands would be stretched out, and the Lord let him know the manner in which he was going to die. And now that he was older and he saw persecution all around him, he understood that his death was near. I don't know if you guys knew or watched the movie Quo Vadis back in the day, the movie from the 1960s. Those are the movies that we grew up on when we were younger. The Ten Commandments with Ben-Hur, Quo Vadis, all those great Christian movies from the 50s and 60s. But in that movie, and this is tradition, it's not found in scripture, but tradition tells us that when Peter understood that persecution was going to erupt in Rome, he fled Rome. He left the city of Rome so that he could escape persecution. And tradition tells us that on the road out, leaving Rome, he runs into Jesus, who is going the other way, in the opposite direction towards Rome. And Peter asks him this question, "Quo vadis? Where are you going, Lord?" And the Lord Jesus tells him, "I'm going back to Rome to be crucified again." And Peter understands that that he has to turn around and he has to go to Rome and he has to die. And he does. He turns back. He embraces his calling and he finishes faithfully. We know from tradition that he was crucified and that he was crucified upside down. That was his motivation. That was his urgency. But obviously the urgency doesn't come just from the fact that we are going to die. Because yes, death will come for all of us. But the urgency of reminding one another comes from the fact that we are accountable to one another, brothers and sisters. We are accountable for the spiritual well-being of our brothers and sisters, of the people that we sit next to Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Thursday. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage each other daily. Remind one another daily. Invest in one another daily so that none of you is hardened." Because that is what happens if we fail to remind one another. We see that we drift so easily. Urgency is driven by the ever-present danger of spiritual drift. Sin hardens us, all of us, gradually. It's not a process where today we are following the Lord and then tomorrow we abandon him completely. It's a slow process where we are hardened day by day when we are not reminded, or when we don't remind one another to believe and to act on the spiritual truth, the foundational truth that we know. When truth fades subtly from our lives and from the lives of our churches, we see that nobody can coast spiritually. It's impossible to coast, to just go through the motion spiritually. Without active reminding, without active investing in one another, decline is the default. And we see one more thing, one last thing from Peter's life over here. Not only is he reminding the believers, not only is there urgency in his reminder, but we see that he's looking ahead to what comes after him, to the effect that he's going to have after he passes away. In verse 15, he says, "So that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure." So the question for us this morning is, what reminders are you leaving behind? What reminders am I leaving behind? And who is stronger because you spoke truth into their lives? What brother, what sister is stronger, healthier, more mature, better off because of your ministry, because of the words of life that you spoke into their lives, because of the love that you showed for them, the care that you showed for them? the prayers that you said for them. In conclusion, Christianity is not advanced through novelty, as I said from the beginning, but by the faithful repetition of foundational truths. While many chase what is new, Scripture calls us to cling to what is true. Not to fall for what is new, not to run around for what is new, but to cling to what we know is true. So, receive reminders humbly, give reminders faithfully, and respond to reminders actively. And may God help us all to hear the word of God this morning and to respond to the reminder that the Holy Spirit is giving to us all. Amen.